Welcome to ILTA's Winter 2014 Ask the Expert podcast series, where we'll focus on professional networks and connections. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and today I'm here with Mary Abraham, principal of Above and Beyond KM, co-founder of Broadly, and a longtime contributor to ILTA. We're delighted you could join us, Mary.
Thanks, Christy. I'm so happy to be here.
What importance should one place on developing and nurturing a professional network?
I think it's a critically important thing to do. To begin with, humans are biologically wired for connection. Even the most introverted introvert actually does need to have a few people in their lives. The rest of us need a lot more, and most of us have never spent the time or energy to figure out how to build that collection of connections in a smart and fulfilling way. So that's why I spend a lot of my time talking to people about it, because I think it matters. The other thing, past just the human level of the importance of connecting, is the fact that by all accounts, we are rapidly progressing to what they call the gig economy or the freelancers economy. The last time the American government checked this was in 2005, and at that point, 42.6 million, or just under one-third of the American workforce, was operating on a freelance or independent contractor basis. The most latest predictions show us that by 2020, 40% of the workforce, or 60 million people, will be operating like artists, like dancers, like musicians. We will be going from gig to gig to gig. We won't have a single employer with us who provides a salary and benefits. In that context, it's critically important that you have a growing and active network, because it will be the most likely source for your next job.
What are the missteps or pitfalls one might face in making professional connections?
There are so many, but I will focus on a few. To begin with, networking leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, and a lot of people really kind of cringe when they're told they must network or they should attend a networking event. And part of the reason is that it's so false. It's so designed to go against everything about the way we are as humans. I mentioned earlier that we are wired for connectivity. Well, networking events are more like hit-and-run accidents, where you hope to meet somebody and you hope to make a connection, and then you dash away because the whole thing's been really awkward. So what I recommend to people is to avoid the misstep of treating networking as a transactional event, like a way to get something from someone. When you've been on the receiving end of a pitch like that, you know it, and you know how uncomfortable you feel. Well, you know, it's uncomfortable in both directions. So just stop the madness. Don't treat it transactionally, and don't come to it as a way of gaming the system, because you will fail, or you will look incredibly sleazy.
What are some of your pet or favorite applications or processes for growing your own professional network?
Well, I think there are a few different things you can use and probably do need to use, because at this point, there is no single technology that does it all, not even a client relationship management software your firm has and has been battling with for 10 or 20 years. But at a personal level, I think there are a few things you can do. First of all, LinkedIn is the fastest growing platform for professional connection. And at this point, it's really not much better than what I would call a digital or electronic Rolodex, plus access to some thought leadership. But it's rarely a place for much engagement. For those of you who've used it, you know that the messaging system is really kind of kludgy. And the premise behind it, where that you can find somebody you don't know through the people you know, is complicated and I think problematic. But I do use LinkedIn because it's the one place I can go to see what's happened in people's lives. And most people are pretty good about keeping their contact material up to date. The other thing I use is lightweight way, such as Facebook or Twitter. And it's not so much that it necessarily gives you insight into other people's lives, but you do pick up a little ambient information, which makes it easier to reconnect when you need to connect. So those sorts of tools aren't good for making the initial connection, but they're not bad for keeping the connection warm. But there's a big proviso with Facebook and the like, which is you're not seeing a person's whole life. You're seeing their edited life. And most people tend to put on Facebook only the things that reflect best on them. So you're getting, at best, a one-dimensional view of them, and it may not be a completely accurate view of them. However, that said, it is information, and if you treat it carefully, it can be helpful in maintaining a relationship. The other tool that I've been using, and that is still in beta, I'm afraid, and beta only for iPhone users, is a tool called Broadly, B-R-O-A-D-L-I. And full disclosure, I am one of the co-founders of this tool. And we started it with the premise that in this age of mass connectivity, where people can have thousands of connections on their various digital platforms, when the crunch time comes, we still don't know who we need to call for help in a particular matter. And that we found frustrating. So the idea behind Broadly is that it brings your trusted network together on a single platform where you can articulate an ask to your network. And they will either come back and say, you know what, I can help you with that, or I know someone who could help, and they make the introduction. Now, all of this really builds on very well-established social network theory and social capital theory. And at bottom, what it's about is finding ways to help others, because that's the way you invest in a relationship. And at the end of the day, it's not so much that you need a network of connections, but you need a network of relationships, because it's only the relationships that can be turned to productive good, not the mere connections. So that's what we try to do on Broadly. And we do these analog events, which are just amazing, where people come in with that one thing they're trying to solve today. And everybody leaves with at least one answer, if not more, because they unlock the generosity of their network. And I don't know any other tool that does that. So we're hopeful that we can get people into this mindset, unlocking generosity, and in turn, being generous with the people in their network.
You're an expert in this field, and you have a professional network that is enviable. If you were starting from scratch, is there anything you would do differently?
Yes, I would discard a lot of the old-fashioned networking advice that says you have to go to X number of networking events a month or a year, and you have to make awkward conversation with Y number of people. What I would do instead is adopt a pay-it-forward mentality and say, I'm going to go to this event, and I'm going to see if I can have two or three interesting conversations. And the goal of the conversation is not for me to get something out of it, but the goal of the conversation is find a way to help somebody that moves both of our lives forward. And by focusing on the other, you immediately eliminate the sleazy, awkward, transactional aspects of meeting someone for the first time and then trying to form a connection. And then in terms of converting the connection into a relationship, I would be much more rigorous than I ever was when I was starting in following up with these people. You'll meet some folks that you say, you know, that was great, but I'm not sure we need to continue this. But there'll be others you say, I really enjoyed that. Then follow up with a quick note by email, follow up with a link to an article they might find interesting, follow up with a resource they might find helpful. And then if they reciprocate, convert that digital relationship to a face-to-face relationship. The other piece of advice I would give is to cast your net widely. Social network theory shows us that people who have small networks where everybody knows everybody tend not to be exposed to the most interesting things, the most interesting ideas, the most interesting opportunities. The key is to have a really diverse network, and preferably to have a number of diverse networks for which you are the bridge. You are the person that connects these different networks. A sociologist named Ronald Burt has a great quotation that I'm going to paraphrase. People who stand at the intersection of diverse networks are in danger of having innovative ideas. As we know, it's the people with the innovative ideas who actually move forward in their work. So from a practical perspective, it's important to cultivate diverse, interesting networks.
That's some wonderful food for thought. That brings our time to an end. Thank you, listeners. Please check out our other podcasts. And Mary, I'm sure everyone will take away from the insight you shared. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thanks for asking me to participate, Christy. It's been a pleasure.